Hey guys, welcome back to Just a Sip, episode 9. Today, we are discussing the entirety of my life right now, which is influencing. That's my career, I guess. I don't really like to call it that, but we'll get into that later. Let me just talk about what we're drinking today, but let me grab it. Hold on. I have it in my hands. Look at this beautiful drink. Look at the ombre on this drink. It's absolutely amazing. I'm going to stir it. I haven't drank it yet, but it's strictly honey. Let me explain. Honey, espresso, and Chobani oat milk. It's really good. But let me explain why we are only drinking honey today. Because it's not even a long story. But I have recently just been running out of all of the syrups that I had and then not like replacing them in time. Or like I told you last week, like somebody stole my lavender syrup. So I would have had some, but you know, it's not here because somebody took it. And so I had to get some more. I like ordered a new one. Also, what is it? Like, I completely lost my train of thought. Regardless, I'm drinking a iced honey latte. It's very good. And it's one of my favorites because it's so simple. And simple and delicious. And that's all we look for out of a coffee. Simple and delicious. I don't like overdoing it with like flavor or overdoing it with like sugar and stuff like that. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth the money if I was talking about like going to Starbucks or something. Whatever the case may be. Let's get into today's topic. I felt like talking about influencing. I don't really know why, but I was like, you know what? I kind of want to talk about this because I was going to Miami, I think. Yeah, I was going to Miami like last week. And I was on the plane and I was writing my script for this episode. I was like, what do I want to talk about? Like, what would be an interesting topic? Something, you know, fun, something informative. And I thought, let's go through the ins and outs of influencing. I asked myself a few questions about it that I would like to answer for you guys today. Just some questions that I commonly get, questions that I commonly see, and just, you know, overall, there's like a general wondering about. I feel like anyone who is in the content creation space can answer these questions or has heard these questions. And I feel like a lot of people have, but, you know, people are always going to ask for some strange reason. Since everybody watches like different creators or like follows different people, you might not hear the answers to the questions. I don't know. It depends who's talking about it, but that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it today. But let's get into it. Influencing. First off, let's define what influencing is. Like, if you're new here, if you're not Gen Z or a cool millennial, what is influencing? Like, explain that to me, please. And I've actually been asked this a lot over the past few weeks. I don't know why. Mostly by adults, like by people a lot older than me. They're like, what is that? Like, I don't get it. Like, what do you do for a living? And I tell them and they're like, that's what? They just don't get it. So I think it's a valid question. Like, what is influencing? What is content creation? Exactly. I don't like the term influencing. I feel like it has a very negative, like, look or a negative perception, like, attached to it. Also, I just don't like the word. Like, it's not a positive thing. It can be a positive thing, and a lot of the times it is, but also it goes both ways. Like, influencing, that's a scary word. I don't like it. So I prefer the term content creation or a creator, like content creator. It makes me feel a lot more comfortable with the whole situation. I don't know why, but it does. But with influencing and just like content creation in general, it is a lot more work than it seems. And it's different for absolutely everybody who does it. Like, it's not like a by-the-book thing. Anyone can do it differently. There's no like guidebook on how to actually like do it one way, because there's so many different ways someone can do it, and there's so many different like avenues someone could go with like content creation and being a social media influencer. And it does not like fit into one, you know, box for a definition, which is very interesting, because most jobs do. And you know, a lot of people don't even view it as a job. I try not to view it as a job, but I try to also view it as a job because it has its place. And I don't want it to get like confused with having fun all the time, because it is fun. It's definitely freeing and it's exciting and it's fun and it can be all those things, but it is a lot more work like behind the scenes than anyone knows, I guess. Like if you're in it, then you know. And if you're not in it, then you're kind of wondering, I guess. Personally, I don't really like to talk about it that much, like the ins and outs of like social media influencing, or like the ins and outs of like all my editing processes and stuff like that, because I think although it is nice to see and it's like really cool to see like behind the scenes of stuff like that, I like delivering a final product, and I like that to be the like t that's it. Like that's the final product, and this is what you're getting. And I feel like I like the like if there's a little mystery behind like how it's happening, not really in a like a gatekeeping way, but like if you answer all the questions and if you answer and show like absolutely everything, then there's really like nothing to wonder about anymore. And there's no, you know, people like you just don't ask questions because you already know. So I'm just like, some things I'll just like keep behind the camera because it's just that's where it belongs and that's where I want to keep it, just for that, I guess, mystery effect. Even if no one's wondering, I just still want to keep it there, just to keep it there. I like that path, and I like that way for me. But like I said, like it's so much more work than what you see on the final screen, like what you see in the as a final product. There's so much that goes into it, like preparation wise, and it's extremely time consuming. And so if it's something that someone wants to dedicate a lot of their time to, then they will. But if, you know, someone was like trying to get into social media like content creation or anything like that, one thing I would just say is that it is so time consuming, and it's mentally draining. Like it's very fun, and it's nice to see like what you create, and it's awesome to see like all of the people you touch and the, you know, the product that comes from you. And it's nice to see it grow. But in that same token, there's just so much time and effort that goes into it, but you're willing to put that time and effort in because it's like it's your creation, so it just makes sense. But if anybody was like wanting to do something like that, you just definitely have to have some sort of drive for it. Not something you just jump into because it's popular, or like something you jump into because someone told you should, or like someone said you'd be good at it. If you know, like deep down, like you don't really have a knack for like, you know, figuring stuff out in terms of editing and like social media, like strategies and just a lot of technology and dropping a lot of money to like kind of, you know, buy some of the stuff that you need, then maybe it's not for you. Like if you don't want to do that, then that's fine. You know that there's like this trend going around on TikTok right now, where I think it was like a line from The Devil Wears Prada or something. I think that's a movie where I forget their names in the movie, but she's like, everybody wants this. Like it's showing sometimes people are okay with not having like something that's popular, or like sometimes people are okay with being on the watching side of TikTok or on the watching side of just all entertainment. Like I'm okay with just consuming the content. Like I don't really have the desire to go out and make it because A, I don't want to, or B, I can see how tired and exhausted all you people are. So like no, like it's just not it. And sometimes that's the case. Like for some reason, I don't know why, but I have the innate desire to, you know, create content and like put it on the internet, even though it makes me tired and even though it makes me sleepy and mentally drained. But like I like doing it, so I do. And some people just, you know, prefer not And that makes sense. Like, I get that. Like, I'd prefer not to like be working in an office or something like that. I just prefer not to. And so everybody has their preferences. Long story short, there's just so much that goes into it, and it's a lot more work than it seems, but it's a lot of fun at the same time. But as an influencer, it's very interesting to see like how it happens for everybody, but like the main way that it happens, like if I was going to define like what being an influencer is like building a following across like multiple platforms, all based on you. I mean, it could be based on so many different things, but personally, I think I would put myself in like the lifestyle vlog category, you know, like personal branding. And so it's like building a following across multiple social media platforms across on the internet and being able to monetize, because a lot of people can build a following but like never monetize. A lot of people can gain a lot of traction on the internet or like have a big amount of people following them but not have the right resources to actually make money that way. And I've seen it a couple times, just with like social media and just people that I know in general. It's just very, I pay attention to stuff like that. And there's a lot of ways that one can monetize their content. And like, there's a lot of ways that somebody can build their following on, say, Instagram, or build their following on TikTok, and then take it to the next level and actually start making money off of it instead of just like having this giant number, but like not really being able to do anything with it, if that makes sense. So as a whole, like being an influencer is just, you know, building a huge community of people and being able to like find resources to make money that way. If I'm putting it, that's like how I see it, I guess. There's obviously so much more that goes into it, but from a monetary standpoint, that's what I would call it. But yeah, there's so many different types of like, you know, influencers and content creators. Like I myself, personally, I vlog. I told you this, you know this. Personally, I vlog. This is how I started. Just day-to-day like lifestyle type vlogging, and so many things could come out of that. Like the things that I'm interested in translate into the work that I do or to the videos that I put out. So like lifestyle vlogger for me means I'm also in like the health and fitness realm because that's something that I enjoy for myself. I'm also kind of in like the food realm because I like to cook for myself and I like trying new recipes and stuff like that. I actually made sushi today and it was vegan. It was very fun. But I also like fit a little bit into the travel realm of, you know, the internet because I love to travel. And so anytime that I vlog stuff like that, I enter the travel space a little bit. I'm very interested and I enjoy, you know, home decoration and like personal fashion and stuff like that. So I might enter the fashion realm just a little bit and like the home, like interior design realm. So stuff like that. So there's so many ways that one person can take it, and there's so many different avenues that you can do with it. Like personally, I would just qualify, I would put myself in the lifestyle realm because I don't specifically focus on any one of those things just solely. But there are like influencers and just people, content creators out there that focus completely on fitness and make that their entire thing, or focus completely on, you know, home decor or fashion and make that their entire thing. And that is a very good way to do it as well. Like, I think that that works better in some cases than like the way that I'm doing it. Because when you focus on something specific, then people know what to get when they're coming to you. People know exactly what it is to expect when looking you up. Like, oh, this is so and so, and they do this. Like, that's what it is. Even though a lot of those people have many different interests, that's just the niche that they chose and the one that's working for them or the passion that they have for it. And so they go with that. And I think that's amazing. So, you know, you never know, like one day, it's a lot of fun. Like as an influencer, as a content creator, you can kind of change on how you grow, I feel like that's a fun thing about the way that I'm doing it is like as I'm growing, my content will grow, my content will change, and it will like it'll reflect that I'm growing as a person, which is fun. Like I've seen it over the past 2 years as I like look over my old videos and stuff like that. I've definitely seen growth and change, and so I'm like, that's very cool. Like I definitely like that. But yeah, there's so many types and they all mix together, which is really interesting. I find it very captivating. I love thinking about this from like taking a step back. I like to think about it from like a business perspective and like I like seeing the strategy that's being used online. I like seeing like how people are using like their platforms to, grow their personal life. Like it's very interesting to me. I didn't even mention that I'm like in the coffee space. Like I love being in the coffee space. I get videos sent to me about coffee all the time. I absolutely love them and they're extremely satisfying and it's just fun. It's just a lot of fun and I absolutely love it. But like with anything, there's, positives and negatives. Everything has a downside, but like I mentioned a little bit earlier, just with like the exhaustion mentally and you lose a lot of motivation to do a lot of things and quite often you get burnt out very quickly, but we can talk about all that later, just in a little bit. But that is basically in a nutshell what I would define like influencing as. But a big question that I get about it is just how do I support myself this way? Like how do I live like the lifestyle that I live just solely based on influencing? And I will disclaim, I have to like yawn or something. I don't even know. It's actually kind of hurting. You know how like if you like yawn after you drink something and it's like not going down all the way? Very weird. I'm gonna drink some coffee. Hold on. Okay, that's good. That's very good. Oof. Okay, it's definitely waking me up. I was really tired today. Like I was filming this video for Target today, and it took me a really long time. Even though the video is only going to be like 30 seconds max, it took me forever to film it today. And it's like 5 o'clock. The sun is going down. This is my second coffee of the day, and it's really waking me up. Like I was actually sitting right here before I started recording, and I was like sitting in my chair, and I was literally falling asleep. I was like, "Oh my God, I'm so tired." But this coffee is definitely waking me up, and I love that. But how do I support myself this way? So I get this question a lot, often in comments, and I don't really like to respond like on TikTok, like to a comment like that, just because TikTok is very interesting. I could answer a question like once, and then I would get asked the same question about that same topic a lot, like over and over and over and over. So it doesn't really make sense to answer anything specific, like in a comment section like that, because no one's gonna see it. And so I'm always gonna keep getting that question. And so it's like more effective for me to make an entire video about it, A, on like YouTube or my podcast or on TikTok itself. But even then, it doesn't guarantee that everybody that follows me will see. But it's fine. That's okay. But I did want to answer it here. Like I wanted to talk about how I get paid and like how that works. So it's very interesting with TikTok. When I first, no. They rolled out like a, I forget what exactly what it was called, but it was like a creator thing that you could enroll in to get paid through TikTok. I forgot what it's called. I don't even know why I don't know what it's called, but I should, but I don't. Long story short, when they rolled it out, I was like, okay, that's very interesting. It had some guidelines that you had to beat that like you had to meet in order to, be a part of it. And those guidelines were, I think, having over 10,000 followers, which I did at the time, like posting consistently, which I did at the time, and I still do, but there was something else. I forgot what it was, but and being like 18 or something. So I met all those requirements and I was like, yeah, like I'm gonna enroll. That's just so cool. 'Cause I knew like at the time, especially prior to that, YouTube had been paying its creators for a long while. And I wasn't really like specifically sure how YouTube's ad revenue stuff was working because I was not enrolled in it at the time. Right now I am, but beforehand I was just like, I'm not part of that. I don't know how it works. So when TikTok came out with their like creator payment thing, I was like, awesome. I get to monetize my account this way. So I'm going to do it. Almost immediately after I joined, I started seeing a tank in my views and like a tank in just overall any of my videos getting pushed, anything like that. It just wasn't happening. And I was like, oh, that's not good. Like that's, I don't think that this is worth it, you know? So when I was enrolled into their like creator payment program, it was not worth it because A, the money to views ratio was very off. It was very strange. And it just didn't like really add up. Like I could get maybe 100,000 views on a video and make 50 cents or something like that. And I was like, this is weird. And it was just starting out. So I gave it like a month. I was in it for a month and I was like, let's see if it gets better. Let's see if it gets worse. Like, let's see how this actually works. Like, let me give it time. And so after being in it for about a month, I was like, no, thanks. Like, this isn't really worth it. Like, I think I'd prefer having just more exposure than money from TikTok or whatever. So I was like, it's fine. And I got out of it. And I think almost immediately after I unenrolled from this creator program for paying on TikTok, I saw a spike in my views go back up and like everything was just, it just felt like my account was like healed again. And so I was like, okay, anything money related with TikTok, I'm probably not going to, you know, join or like be a part of just because I don't think it's worth it at the end of the day. Like I do see creators nowadays, because that's been a while. I think it's like almost been a year, maybe a year and a half since I took myself out of that. But I have seen creators like start getting paid like a lot better on there with like while being enrolled in that program. But it's just not something that I desire. It's not really something that I'm just like, you know what? I want to be in that. Like, I think I'm okay. So I'm just like, no, thanks. It's fine. Also it gives you an incentive to post, but like in the worst way. I don't want to like have to post so that I can get paid from TikTok. Like it puts a weird thing in my head and it just makes me feel like I only do like videos or only make content so that I can make money. And I'm just like, while the money part is very nice and it's very helpful with like absolutely everything that I do, I make content for me and I make content because I genuinely enjoy it. And so if I need to take a break from it, like I will, but I do it because it's like who I am, if that makes sense. So there's that. And the same thing with YouTube. So I don't make money off of TikTok, like from the platform itself. But the same thing with YouTube, like anytime I post a video there, I have the option to be like add or put ads into my video and like make money off of ad revenue. And it's not really enough money to, you know, support myself. I think I have 16,000 subscribers on YouTube. That doesn't necessarily mean I get like thousands of views on my videos or anything like that, but I am eligible to be in like a creator program to make money. So anytime that I post a video, I can make a little bit of like money from that video. I think the highest amount that I've ever made on YouTube was like maybe $200, maybe. And so, yeah, it's nothing that I would rely on for like stable income. Same thing with Instagram. They have this thing, I think it's called Reels Play, where you can turn on bonuses on your reels. And like if you make, you can make up to like $1,200 in a month based on the amount of like views that you get on your reels. And sometimes I turn it on, sometimes I don't. It's cool when it works and it's cool. I could take it or leave it. But it does exist. And so it's interesting how like to see how these companies are like trying to, you know, pay creators and like pay people for, you know, making content on their apps, but I feel like there's just negative things attached that come along with it that, like, you know, made my the first experience with my whole TikTok with making the account weird. I didn't like that, so I kind of just got a bad taste in my mouth with, you know, making money from a specific social media app. So I just don't really enroll in those things anymore. I'm like, you know, it's fine. It's fine. So if I'm not enrolled in any of those, like, you know, creator payment things, then how really am I making money? How really am I supporting myself? For the most part, for me, is sponsorships and brand deals. Those are very big, very important, and those are how I like fund pretty much everything. Now I don't really need to do like too many of them. Anytime that I get like a request or an inquiry from a brand, I'll like look at it, and if it's something that I genuinely would use in my life, or if it's something that I think would genuinely bring value to me, to you, and like to like literally anybody, then I'll probably, you know, do it. I'll be like, you know what, this is interesting, this could be fun, and I'll look more into it. But if it's something that I literally wouldn't use in my life, if it's a product related or that I wouldn't use in my life, then I most likely would not do it. Because I just don't think that it's worth it. Like, a lot of the times, anytime you do a brand sponsorship or a brand collaboration or anything like that, it messes with your image. So you want to make sure that what you're promoting is in line with A, your values, in line with your content. And it's not like just, it doesn't stick out like a sore thumb, you know, something just random, because it wouldn't make sense to you. It wouldn't make sense to your followers. There's a lot of thought that goes into accepting a brand deal. But for the most part, that's where the like the money comes from, and that is how I support myself. Now, it's not something that I would go too deep into online, mainly because I have this strong feeling that it's very important to have privacy. Even when you put most of your life, if not all, on the internet, it's still important to have, if not privacy, then boundaries. Like, I feel like these days I've been seeing a lot of boundaries being A, not set, or boundaries being crossed with just social media in general. And a lot of people are being extremely transparent about everything. I think it's very trendy to be transparent about things right now. And, or just in general, I don't think being transparent is bad, but I think that boundaries are still important to set. Because, for example, like we're talking about brand deals and money right now. If someone was to come up to me, no, if someone was to come up to literally anybody in public, maybe not with this generation because we're like so open about pretty much everything, but if someone was to go up to, say, your parents, your mom or your dad, and they just met, they're strangers, and they're like, oh my gosh, what do you do for a living? Blah, 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 blah. How much do you make? Like, how much do you make in a year? Technically, that's kind of rude, you know? Or like, how much do you make? Blah, 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 blah. Technically, that's kind of a rude question to ask. And so I would never really expect anybody who's, you know, making money online or doing anything to support themselves online to disclose like that kind of information, mainly because, yes, we are on the internet. Yes, we are all like together in a community. But we still don't know each other. And there are still people out there that would like to take advantage, you know, people that are not the best. And so it's still important to have just boundaries. I've seen people put like personal information online, like their credit scores, or like just very like things that you usually not talk about, but things that you usually keep to yourself because it's personal, private information that if it falls into the wrong hands can kind of be very detrimental to you. So I think it's very important for me to just have boundaries in certain areas and like boundaries in certain things that I will and will not talk about. just because if it was in person, I would also still have that boundary, if that makes sense. So I'm probably not going to discuss like how much I make, like specifically with any specific brand deal. Not that anyone's asking, but like if someone were to ask, I'd probably be like, I don't know, nothing. But you know, stuff like that. But yeah, so that is how I support myself with influencing, with content creation. And also, like, it's very over the past year and a half, 2 years, because I've been doing this for 2 years consistently. And there have been some months where I didn't do any collaborations, or anytime you do a collaboration or like a sponsorship or anything like that, you have to invoice this company, and the company or brand or whatever, they have net 30, net 60, sometimes more than 2 months they can go without paying you, because they can go 60 days and then you get paid for the content that you posted or content that you made 2 months ago. So you have to like factor in that you won't be getting paid for a while. And there are stuff, like there are apps and like services that kind of cancel that. They're kind of like a middleman, and they'll pay you, and then the other people or the brand will pay that company if you want your money quicker or what, anything like that. But for the most part, most brands and companies usually are net 30 or net 60, so you don't really get paid. You don't get paid immediately. So you have to like account for stuff like that. And sometimes if there's like a month where you don't do anything, or no sponsorships or no brand deals come in or anything like that, then what do? You know? So you have to like be very frugal or save, or just budgeting is very important, because if you do it wrong, or if you spend too much here or spend too much there, you might end up in a pickle at some point in the near future if you don't like account for stuff like that. So it can be very inconsistent. Over the past year and a half, 2 years, I think there's one or two times where the inconsistency actually affected me, but overall, I've been pretty, I don't want to say I've been too smart with my money, but I haven't been completely stupid, if that makes sense. So I have like saved, and I've been able to just kind of prepare for the months where, you know, there might not be that much coming in, and I can just kind of support myself for a few months without doing a brand deal or anything like that. I hope that this all makes sense to you guys. But yeah, that's how I make money with my social media stuff. It's mostly brand deals and sponsorships. So I hope that answers that question for you. But I feel like we should talk about how do people get to that point? Like, how do people get to the point of being able to monetize their content online? Well, like I was saying earlier, there's a lot of ways to monetize content. And the main thing, but like before you can do it, is just by building a following on at least one platform, building a following, maintaining it, and like finding the resources you need in order to make money from it. Let me explain. So when I first started TikTok, I don't remember where I was, like follower count wise, because you don't always need to have like a lot of followers in order to like actually make money from TikTok. There's things called UGC content. There's a lot of creators that make UGC content, which means user generated content. And it's specifically for like, it's not something that I think that they have to post on their posts or like on their feed or anything like that. They can make content, send it to the brands who's asking for it, and the brand will use it for their image, for their stuff like that. But the individual specifically does not have to post like those videos or post that content on their own personal pages. Like, it just doesn't. So really, follower count doesn't matter in that aspect of the whole influencer realm. I don't really do that, but it could be an option. But building a following is the most important step, of course. But once you build that following, it gets a little tricky. It gets a little confusing because if once you build a following of a, you have a community of people, then you become, depending on the kind of content you make, you become, you have something that brands want. You have reach. You know how to reach a lot of people. You have a skill. It's really a skill to be able to, like, have a community follow just one person. I would view it as a skill because you have something that companies want now, which is, like, just a community of people. And so monetizing is very, it's very iffy. It's very, this is why sometimes I feel like it doesn't work for some creators, or it's harder for some creators, because solely based on the type of content you make, at least in my experience, this is definitely my opinion and how I've seen things so far, but the kind of content that I make, it's like I told you earlier, it's vlogs, daily life, lifestyle. Like, I love coffee. This absolute drink right here is sublime. And the kind of content that I make, it's very, not very easy, but it's quite simple to integrate products into it. It's quite simple to integrate a message. Like, I don't like making vlogs that don't have some type of substance or don't have, like, a message in them somewhere. Anytime I make a video that, like, doesn't really say much, like, I know that I'm not saying anything, and I don't like uploading those ones. And sometimes I'll upload it just for the pure sake of having a video to upload that day. But most of the time, anytime that I put content on the internet or put something out there, I want it to have some sort of substance, like something that I can take away from watching this video, something I can learn, or something that is just, whether that be like simply and a nice cozy feeling, or it's just simply aesthetic, or it's like a message of, this is what I learned today from living this experience, or this is what I did today, but this is why, or this is how it made me feel, or stuff like that. Like, I always want there to be some sort of message, like, in my content. And I feel like when I do that, or if, since I make content like that, it's quite simple to integrate a brand or integrate some type of product, if it genuinely aligns with me, into my videos. And so I haven't had really any bad experiences with having brands reach out to me. And it's very interesting because I see a lot of, like, videos on TikTok. I see a lot of videos on the internet of, like, this is what you need to be doing when you're reaching out to brands. This is what you need to be doing when you're talking with them. But so far, that has not been my experience, mainly because I don't think I've ever reached out to a brand. I have in my life, but it was Urban Outfitters. I remember I used to, like, get stuff from Urban Outfitters all the time, which I still do, but, like, home decor, stuff like that, and I would tag them on TikTok. And one time, I think I sent them my video, and I was like, blah, 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 blah. Look at this. Blah, 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 blah. It's so cool. This is you guys. And I think they responded. They were like, oh my God, that's so cool. We're not really looking for influencers right now. I was like, oh, whatever. And after I did that, I kind of learned my little lesson. I was like, okay, wait, that kind of makes sense. Why would I reach out to a brand that I really want to work with when they might not have a need for me? Like, that's just kind of weird. So if I'm going to get anything, or if I'm going to, you know, be desired to be worked with by any brands, then I'll just let them come to me. Because if they genuinely feel like I align with their values or align with their brand, then they'll come to me, you know? And so I can reach out to people when I feel comfortable, but I haven't had to do that yet. So that has been my experience with monetization. It just, you need to have the right resources, and your content needs to be, while staying true to yourself, your content should be, if this is your goal, if you want to be, like, reached out to by brands, it just, you just need to have, not family friendly, but, like, content that you could easily integrate something into. if that makes sense. I feel like I'm not explaining it in the best way that I possibly could, but that's like the way that I know how to explain it. But yeah, anyway, there's a lot of things that come up when you start growing on social media. Like, you start getting inquiries from brands, you start getting like emails from people, and you're like, wait, I just wanted to make content. I didn't know I had to like read contracts and like become basically self-representation, you know? And that's actually very hard because if you are not the type of person to A, be a business person, B, if you're not interested in that like life, then it could become draining very quickly. It could become just very hard for you to just navigate because you don't know those things. Like, you don't know like business language, or you don't know numbers, or you don't know like how much you should be charging for certain things, or like you don't know that you should be charging, you know, for A, the video, but also for all of the deliverables that the company is asking for. Like, there's so much more that goes into it. And so a really important thing that I think, like a really huge step that puts a lot of people forward, is having representation. Because if you're not business minded, if you're not business savvy, if you are, and that's just not something you're interested in taking care of, then it can get very hard. But if you have representation, like someone to that is in your corner, that knows how to do all that stuff, knows how to speak with companies, knows how to navigate that world, then it becomes a lot easier for you to just create, and B, a lot you learn along the way, but it just becomes a lot simpler. And I think that that's a big key in being successful, I guess, when it comes to monetizing. And that has just been my experience so far. I didn't really have a time period in my life with social media when I was doing it all on my own, if that makes sense. Like, I wasn't doing like brand deals. Like, I wasn't negotiating them by myself at any point in time. So representation is a key, and sometimes you just get lucky with finding it. Other times you have to look for it. But yeah, you know, I think that if you are thinking about, or if you get to a point where, you know, you need representation, there's so many like influencer management companies out there that do an amazing job. But finding someone that, you know, you personally like and someone that you trust, it can be hard in this world. In this world, yes. But in regards to influencing and content creation, it can be very hard to find someone to represent you that you feel actually gets you and actually understands you and is rooting for you. Because there's a lot out there that will just have you on their roster, or like have you in their management company, but not really care about you. So like, that is another thing. I would recommend representation, but as only if you genuinely feel like they care about you, because that's a big thing too. And oof, it can be very hard. But yeah, anyway, I think that's all I have for you guys today on, you know, TikTok and like my influencer experience financially, I guess, and just like monetarily. That's all I have for you today. But I do want to continue this conversation because I do like it. I think it's very articulate. I think it's very interesting and fun to talk about. So I asked myself a few other questions too. I was like, how do you grow a following on these platforms? How do we keep consistent with posting on the internet? Trust me, it's very hard. And then how does it compare to having like a 9-to-5 or just a regular job in the day-to-day world? I did want to touch on those and, you know, a few other things next week. So if you guys want to come back and listen to part two of today's conversation, I will be here on Wednesday and we can just talk about it. Okay? Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching today. And I guess we'll talk next week. Bye.